The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Hey, these uniforms are lame, man.
What do you say we have a rock and roll party?
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Made it through the All-Star break. We did it.
Did you guys watch the All-Star game?
No.
No, you didn't miss a thing.
Didn't watch a second of that or the Derby.
I didn't watch any of the Derby. I'm sorry. I don't know why people enjoy that. I don't get it. It's batting practice.
People like seeing home
runs. Yeah, but they're not real home runs. They're fake.
Aaron Judge hit one off the roof.
Well, good for him, I guess.
It's sort of like The Simpsons. Do you want to hear the terrible truth or do you want to hear me pop some dingers?
I kind of watched the All-Star game, but I got to be honest, there were 23 strikeouts between both teams, and I want to say 14 hits of the three runs. Two of them scored on home runs, and the other one was on a single base hit, and that was it. I mean, it was just a complete and utter snooze fest. And 3 hours and, I think, 50-some minutes it took to play? A 2-1 game? Are you kidding me? It was horrible. It was a complete snooze fest, and it's just a bigger symptom of baseball's problem.
The thing this year, too, is that now they even took away the "this one counts."
Well, I'm glad they did that.
It's just a game that means absolutely nothing now.
I think we've talked about it before, but with baseball being on every night in every single market, every game of every team, having an All-Star game is just kind of pointless now.
I've reached the point where, and this isn't even just baseball, I think I'm just over All-Star games across sports. The NHL is kind of fun. The new format they have kind of makes it interesting. It's not just a straight up All-Star game. So, you know, that's fun. And before they switched to that, I was getting absolutely disinterested in the NHL All-Star game. Like, I think the last All-Star game that they had of the standard format was the one in Columbus where they all wore neon green.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't even the standard format. That was the fantasy draft.
Yeah, but I mean standard format in so much as like a game.
5-on-5, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a 5-on-5 hockey game.
That was like a record amount of goals in that game too. And it was like the most hockey I ever saw. It was just the goal light kept going on. Like, okay, cool.
That's what I mean. I'm gonna use that to compare it to the home run derby. It's the same thing. I mean, if you like goals, great. The All-Star game, that one was a lot of fun, but they were fake goals. A home run derby, it's the same thing. It's a bunch of fake home runs. To me, it's just bullshit. And the All-Star game, the baseball All-Star game, they need to do something. Maybe they need to do the pick teams or whatever. I don't know. But the novelty of it used to be that you got to see players that you never saw. Well, now you've got interleague every single day. You've got every game on. You've got the at-bat package, extra innings, the whole bit. I mean, really, I don't need it. I get to see all the guys I want to see long before the All-Star game ever gets here. So they either need to just dump it completely, which I'd be fine with. I'm disappointed because I want to see these guys play, but I don't know what the attraction is at this point anymore because there isn't any novelty to it whatsoever. And I'm with you, Mike, with all the All-Star games. We start with that stupid Pro Bowl, and we just work from there. Get rid of all of them. 3 hours and whatever many minutes it was of watching guys strike out, not a whole lot of fun.
I went to a baseball game on Sunday. I actually went. I got to see Angels Devil Rays with 20 of my closest friends. By that, I mean there was maybe 20 people in the building. It was pretty empty. I don't blame people because, I mean, they're barely in wild card contention because the rest of the AL is not good. But
you don't have a very good road draw either in the Tampa Bay Rays.
Exactly.
That's not good either. I'm going to look and see here. I want to see if I can get a picture of this. The picture I'm looking at, the crowd in the sun, it's very sporadic. In the shadows, you can see it's all filled up. It was better than you're making it out to be because the picture I'm looking at, it's hardly empty. It's just everybody was in the shade. I didn't mean to turn this into letting you guys hate on baseball all night, but since we're here.
I'm not hating on baseball. It was just a slow day where nobody showed up.
No, but the problem with it is that it's nothing but strikeouts and home runs now. If you've got two good starters going, which I don't know who started for the Rays or the Angels that day, but if you've got, like, say, your number one starters going and you've got a good bullpen, you're not going to see anything because you've got guys, they're either striking out or hitting the ball out of the park, and that's basically it.
I say this with a bit of jest, but I'm actually more serious than you might think. We need to bring back the dead ball era. There needs to be less of an emphasis on home runs, more of an emphasis on base running, more of an emphasis on
hitting,
actual offensive strategy. Yeah,
yep, hitting. I completely agree.
And I don't mean hitting insofar as home run hitting. I mean just, you know, strategic right. hitting. So
yeah, I agree completely.
Obviously not to the depths of the dead ball era where games would go on forever because of, you know, every game was this tactical.
One guy got on base and he tried to bunt him over and none of that.
Yeah, no, we don't need that. But kind of just sort of a return to that mentality of actually playing smart offensive baseball.
I could not agree more, Mike. That's exactly what we need to do. And the sabermetrics people, you can all go fuck right off right now, but you guys ruined this game. You absolutely did. We are seeing the result of all these fucking, what do they call it, the sabermetric stats, but there's a name for it. There's like enhanced stats or whatever. I can't remember the exact terminology, but
you mean the nerds.
Yeah, we're seeing the results of it now, though. Players have got it in their heads. Okay, what gets me paid? On-base plus slugging. Home runs. So that's what they go for. That's it. Because that's where the paychecks are. And you've got the pitching. It's so dominant that it's just killed the game. And then you got the shifts. These stupid fucking shifts. Outlaw these things. Because I don't want, you know, when I go to see a guy, like, I'm going to use David Ortiz as an example because I know they use this huge shift on him. Or Joey Votto's another one. I don't want to go watch Ortiz or Votto or some good left-handed hitter ground out to the second baseman who's playing halfway out in right field. He's not going to change his swing because that messes with his OPS plus slugging or whatever the fuck it is. And it messes with his power stroke. So he's not going to try to hit the ball the other way like Mike suggested, which would be the smartest thing to do. I know if I was playing and I went up there and I saw everybody to the right side of the field, I'm a left-handed batter. The first thing I'm doing is I'm knocking that ball down the third baseline and I'm running all fucking day. But no one's going to do that because of the extended stats.
The lesson here is, of course, what we've all known, that math ruins everything.
It does. I mean, I'm half in jest like you are, but I'm partially serious. I mean, I really believe this is part of the problem. If I'm a guy like Bryce Harper or any of these left-handed batters where they put on this ridiculous shift, and I'm thinking they might even do it against right-handers, I'm not sure, but and batting average still meant anything, you would go up there and think, I'm going to go the other way. But they don't. You either see Harper or one of the bigger name left-handed hitters either hit a home run or ground out to second base in the middle of the outfield three times in a game. And I just don't think that's good for the game. And people are like, well, you can't outlaw the shift. Why not? You lowered the mound in 1969. What would be so horrible about getting into that fucking shift and going, you got to have two infielders on this side of second base, two infielders on this side of second base, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Why is that a bad thing?
But all of this is just built up over time. It's just a natural progression of the game, really. Do you want to go all the way back to the days of having starting pitchers throw like 200 pitches and all that? And
if it would help, yeah.
We started going down this road when we got the specialized relievers. And
well, that's part of it too, yeah.
That whole sort of stuff. So now you get to a point, it's just the logical conclusion of all this is trying to exploit everything. And then you get to a point where you kind of
But here's the thing. In other sports, and we'll use the NFL as a perfect example of this, when things start going too far in one direction, they adjust and they make the changes necessary to try to get things back on an even footing again. Baseball is the only sport that is so stuck up its own ass that it won't change anything. For God's sake, since 1972, we've had two leagues operating completely independently of each other with the rules. You know, one, seriously. And I don't know what the deal is with that. Either fix it one way or the other. I say get rid of the DH, but come on. You're right, Zach. We got here by logical extension over time, but we don't have to stay here. Just like the NFL could have just kept letting defense dominate and dominate and dominate until now we're at the point where an NFL game is like a soccer game. A field goal wins it. I just don't think we need to go that route in any sport. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure hockey's made changes. Well, I know they have. They made rules to try to get rid of the trap. You know, they're making efforts. And instead, baseball sits back and goes, well, here's how we're going to solve this. We'll make it so that if you're going to give somebody an intentional walk, we just wave them down to first base. Well, thanks a lot. You saved me 4 fucking seconds for something that happens once every 5 games. Wow. Thank you. Let's not address the real problem. Let's do that instead. And it's just idiotic.
Did you see the book that he put out?
Tom Brady put out a book?
Yeah. Listen to this title of this book and you just know all of that I feel about Tom Brady and why I hate him is right here. The TB12 method, how to achieve a lifetime of sustained peak performance.
Really?
The TB12 method, how to achieve a lifetime of sustained peak performance.
Well, five rings, Zach. Five rings, Zach. So, you know.
It's not a career. It's not even like a decade of peak performance. It's a lifetime. I'm pretty basically telling you, I've been the best at everything since I came out the womb.
We might have to examine about whether or not he was. We might have been sleeping some really great stuff.
Could he have been the best birth ever?
I think we need to find Miss Brady, and we need to interview her about that. And I'm just saying, we probably miss out on a lot of good Tom Brady stuff, you know, pre-2001, you know, that kind of just flew out under the radar. And I think now we have to kind of re-examine it.
He put up an Instagram post promoting his book, too. Basically, he's excited to share the culmination of what he's been working on for the past 12 years of his career, something that can benefit all people regardless of age, athletic level, stage of life. So many people ask me, what do I do to maintain my motivation and commitment to the sport? How is it possible to keep playing football at 40 years old? So for anyone who's ever wondered why I feel better today than when I was 25, I've got something for you.
Oh my God.
Whether you're a high school coach, college, or pro athlete, a coach, a farmer, an executive, a teacher, a doctor, a student, a parent, a graphic designer, anyone, I know the methods in this book can be a blueprint to better understanding how to maintain peak mental and physical fitness for the rest of your life.
First off, Joe Montana's better than you, and he always will be, so fuck off.
Five rings, Greg.
I don't care.
Some of the best Schadenfreude I'll go through is the moment that Tom Brady hits the same wall Peyton Manning did and just can't quarterback anymore, because it happens to all of them. And I can't wait to watch Tom Brady throw like 7 interceptions in one game.
Now watch him. Now watch him become football's Tim Duncan, and he kind of
I don't care.
Fades away gracefully.
I'm trying to think: did Montana hit that wall, or did he just kind of gracefully walk away? Well, I honestly don't remember. If he got bad, Peyton got bad towards the end. He was like a year too long. Peyton Manning, you know, Brett Favre, 3 years too long.
Montana, he had a few good years with the Chiefs. They weren't, but he actually, you know, did something of substance with the Chiefs. I'm honestly not sure, because his last few years there were just before my time, so I can't really remember. Elway went out.
If he doesn't actually fall apart, I hope that he goes and plays for the Jaguars or something.
I think he plays one more year to see if he can repeat this year, and if he doesn't, he goes away. He's never going to go Brett Favre on us. It's just not going to happen.
Well, Brett Favre. Brett Favre shouldn't have gone Brett Favre, but
he went way past his past due date. I thought the TB12 method, huh?
Oh yeah, how to sustain a lifetime of peak performance.
Oh, for fuck's sake! I think he's a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong, but I hate it when the beautiful people try to tell us how to be beautiful people.
I'm just gonna repeat. And I understand, and I realize this isn't much of a defense, but he's still better than Russell Wilson. Tom Brady is an arrogant douchebag, but at least you know deep down that's who he is.
He's right. Tom Brady may be winning Super Bowls, but while Russell Wilson isn't winning those Super Bowls, he's taking that Sunday to visit a children's hospital.
Yeah, so I know. He's curing cancer just by laying of hands or whatever.
Every week he's playing football is one less week that he's not helping the children of Seattle.
Right, I know. Tom Brady, that selfish son of a bitch. How could he?
Screw you, Golden Boy.
Yeah. I think too, a lot of it is like Zach just said, screw you, Golden Boy. You know, we don't need to hear about your TB12 method. Thanks.
He doesn't have to write a book. He probably thinks, oh no, you know what? I've learned some things over my career, and this could really help people that want to maintain, you know, a level of fitness or mental focus.
Yeah.
He probably is completely genuine about it. But no one cares. No one needs to hear it from you.
You want, okay, I can give you the TB12 method of lifetime of success. Rule one, get the NFL to make up a rule right on the spot so you can go to the Super Bowl instead of the team that deserved to go. There's your first step.
Two, get the most assholish, obsessive coach in all of NFL history.
To be fair, the Tuck rule screwed over the Raiders, and that does bring me a lot of joy.
By the way, Mike, I forgot to tell you about this. I met my first Los Angeles Charger.
Oh, who was it? Was it Dean Spanos?
No, it was Tyrell Williams, wide receiver.
Oh, I had him on my fantasy team last year.
I met him. He showed up. He had a Chargers jersey.
Did he try to give you tickets to the game, and did he then try to beg you to go to the games?
No, he was there, and for whatever reason, this tournament, it's like the most high-profile 7-on-7 tournament in in Southern California for the summer. It's stupid.
And you know who was there? A representative of your Los Angeles Chargers, because he's fighting for L.A.
They're also practicing in Orange County, so they're trying to make Orange County more of their area.
Fight for L.A.
Yeah, I mean, they got this guy to come out and do the coin flip for the championship game of a 7-on-7 passing tournament in July. So that's good for him.
Oh, speaking of the whole Rams.
And the thing was, he was wearing his jersey, and then, like, on the upper left portion of the chest, he was wearing, like, on the jersey was a sticker, like a Chargers sticker.
Huh.
A sticker? Like,
it was the logo of the, it basically looked like navy blue duct tape with the team duct tape that they sell.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the team logo and it just repeated over and over. I swear to God, it looked like it was a piece of that just stuck on the jersey like a patch. And I looked at it and I'm like, what? What is that? Why
now?
Is that...
What color jersey was he wearing?
Navy blue.
Okay, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So was he a nice guy?
He seemed fine. He seemed kind of like, I'm here to, again, flip a coin for the championship game of a 7-on-7 high school passing tournament.
Okay, so he was basically there just because he had to be there.
But he stayed around through that game. The 30 minutes of that game lasted. So,
speaking of the Rams Chargers thing, the Rams did Hard Knocks last year, right?
Yeah.
And then they've also got the thing that Amazon does, All or Nothing, a season with the Los Angeles
right, they
Rams.
Right, followed it up. Did you see the Jeff Fisher clip from that where he told the coaching staff he was fired?
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm not fucking going 7-9, Jeff.
No,
Fisher.
And he was right. He didn't.
Nope. he did.
I've been trying to watch it because they did the Cardinals last year, and it was actually very enjoyable.
Yeah.
But the Rams, it's just like, oh, my God. And then you start talking, you know, they're talking about Case Keenum, and it's like, I'm not even a Rams fan. I was just like going, how in the fuck did they stick with that guy as long as they did? He was so bad.
The All or Nothings are always interesting because they come out after the season, and so you can watch it all in retrospect. So, like, I don't want to look through that, but just from you telling me that, I don't want to relive the Case Keenum weeks.
It's frustrating.
I want to go back and look at it just because I want to see if there's any rationale, because Greg's right. I mean, why were they so committed to Keenum?
The only thing we could think of was that Goff just was that bad. Now we can go back and see what his rationale was for sticking with Keenum at all costs. He was so bad. They would have trouble scoring 10 points a game, and this guy was throwing interceptions. He just wasn't good. And for the life of us, we couldn't figure out why they wouldn't give anybody another shot. When did they finally go to Goff? Was it like week 12 or something like that?
I want to say week 10.
Yeah, but it was well past when they should have.
And then, of course, when he did come in, the offensive line was Swiss cheese, so he was on his back half the time anyway.
I'm going to watch it. I need to find out now why Jeff Fisher was so stuck on Keenum. The funny thing is, I used to be under the illusion that Jeff Fisher was a good coach.
No, everyone was. And he's just, I don't know what his career record is, but I know it's under 500.
If he coached 160 games, his record's 80-80, I promise you.
He's just slightly above 500 all the time. 178, 171, and 1.
Two 12-4 seasons in Tennessee are the difference.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, because he was 13-3 twice in Tennessee.
There's your difference right there.
He... He had a season of 10 wins or more only six times in how many seasons is this? How many seasons did he coach?
I want to say close to 20.
From 94 to 2016.
22.
Five 10 wins or more seasons in 22 years or six.
But you know what it was about him, I think, that created the illusion? His teams always seemed like they were this close to being good.
Yeah.
You always thought next year they'll get it together, and they just never did. Well, even the Rams, we thought a couple things go their way, and I think that they could have been okay.
Yeah.
And with the Titans, and you just always thought they're right there. Give him one more season, and he just got an awful lot of one more seasons before somebody finally said, wait a minute.
Well, his first season with the Rams, he was 7-8-1, and then he was 7-9, and then he was 6-10, and then he was 7-9 again, and then he was 4-9 before he was fired. So it was a case where he was always hovering around that 500 mark, where it's like, if just one or two more things go our way, we're going to be good. And
but that's the thing. Even look at his Tennessee years, though. Again, take those six playoff seasons out.
Mm-hmm.
He and he had a half season in Houston when he was first brought on, where he was 1-5. Then it's 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 7-9, 5-11, 4-12, 8-8, 8-8, 6-10.
Yep.
And then the Rams years.
He was 4-9 when they fired him.
Yeah.
You got to let him finish the season, because he could have gone exactly 7-9, which would have been the greatest thing ever.
From EliteSportsNY.com.
What the hell is that?
That's the correct answer, Greg.
Okay, let's see here.
The New Jersey Devils' new uniforms. It's still red, white, and black, but the new Adidas New Jersey Devils uniforms for 2017-18 look sweet.
They have finally changed the Devils' uniforms for the better.
Yeah, he thinks that they look slick. Well, and
people are entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
His opinion would hold more weight if it weren't riddled with grammatical errors and spelling mistakes.
Well, Mike, this is Elite Sports NY. They don't have to abide by the same rules the rest of us do. Come on.
I suggested this might be a place for Frankie Midnight to finally, you know, call home.
Oh, wow.
It seems that the reception of the, quote, New Jersey, unquote, isn't so hot. Some may agree to disagree, but by the time these uniforms hit the ice, fans will be buying them without a doubt.
He's probably right about that. I think he's right about that. I think so.
Hasn't the team already, like, considered a contingency plan if they bomb?
Yeah, but I don't know that they'll sell like crazy, like a nice New Jersey would, but people will buy them. We all know that. I mean, the completists will have them regardless of how bad they are.
He closes out his review of the Devils uniforms with a quick side note. The Golden Knights jerseys are gnarly. The smoky gray complements the gold and black beautifully. It can go without saying that no matter who the Golden Knights chose as their roster, those jerseys will be flying off the NHL shop's website and off the walls at the Armory, the smartly titled name of the Golden Knights team store in Las Vegas.
That's another run-on sentence. So, yes. You know, nice yes. for...
Yes, it is.
Like, this guy really abuses commas and ellipses. Like, you can't just throw them anywhere you want, guy.
I'm going to post a link here in a second that will show once again the genius that is this show. This is something that we talked about, I'm going to say, a good year ago.
What's that?
Our simple uniforms, the new trend. Didn't we say that this was what was going to happen?
We did, yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was smart.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's completely true.
Now, granted, we aren't Elite Sports New York, but we do have our moments.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at all this shit. It's big blocks of color and simple designs.
Yeah, it had simple, nowhere to go. We called this, might even been longer than that, but we called this ways back.
Oregon could only, you know, Oregon and Maryland could only push the bar so far before there was nothing else to do. I mean, at one point, Virginia Tech was taking, like, brick patterns. And, like, at a certain point, it just can't go anywhere.
I found the thing here from the best of uniforms. I don't think he wrote it, though. It's from another guy, Anthony Chiasano. Anyway, here it is.
Although, in the interest of fairness, though, for every fantastic UCLA unveiling, there is an Arizona Wildcats unveiling.
Well, that's what I find interesting about this article. It claims that Arizona is the second best new uniform of the year.
How?
I don't know.
I actually did U of A put out new ones? Oh, okay. I haven't seen these yet. I'm ready to puke. Just here, as like a natural reflex.
There you go. That
maybe the new trend, maybe we're not quite there yet.
That number font is just
Like the first tweet down is from some guy named Phil Three Up, I guess. Just bring back these and let's call it a night. And it's their old blue jerseys with the plain, you know, the white helmet with the red and blue stripe. And
those numbers are hideous.
Yeah.
Right? It's like someone thought West Virginia's numbers weren't fat enough.
And look, I get what U of A is trying to do, but one of the things that just bugs me.
What are they trying to do?
Well, they're you know, trying to be as colorful as possible with all the combinations, whatever. But I hate that they've done this. red, white, and blue, they've given them all equal, like,
yeah.
There's no hierarchy to their colors. Their colors are red, white, and blue.
And they all get equal time at the top.
That's what I meant, yeah. Is that there's equal distribution of red, white, and blue, and it's just, it does not work. I hate the red helmets. The all red helmets.
Yeah.
I'll take the red helmets over the red chrome helmets.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I can like anything from Tucson, I like the white helmets. The white helmets are nice.
Well, I think that one response that Greg mentioned summed it up perfectly. Like, the Arizona Wildcats look best when they are primarily blue and white with red highlights.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree completely. Yep.
Yep. I agree with that. And they need to either be mostly blue, mostly white. And then red can be your alternate. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like when we're talking about bold blocks of color, which are like the trend, as we said, this is clearly that. It's just done in a way that doesn't give anything balance.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree. Every color scheme,
not balance.
You have to have your dominant color. You have to be, or your primary color, I guess. Dominant is probably not the right word, but you got to have the one that this is where we start and everything flows from this. And the red doesn't work. I'm going to tell you this list of the best new football uniforms. I'll go along with UCLA and that's it. The rest of these are fucking garbage.
That number 3 in that Arizona football font, that 3. Mm-hmm. One of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
It's so bulbous.
It's weird.
But
it's like
that's where we are now.
Angular and round at the same time.
I can't imagine how good like 33 is going to look in that font.
Ugh, no.
See, but this is where we got with these stupid proprietary fonts. Is that you can't? I mean, I think these would be 50% better with just a plain black font on them, but you can't do that anymore.
It's not so much a problem in college football because, as we saw, UCLA went with a pretty standard block font.
Yeah.
But I think it's a bigger problem in the NFL because the NFL likes to be able to trademark and copyright everything that they possibly can. And so you will never see a new uniform unveiling in the NFL again that uses standard block because they can't copyright that. But and as a result, you get a lot of these proprietary fonts that quite frankly aren't good. Like, because you can only really design there are only so many ways that you can skin a cat. There are only so many ways that you can design another font
before you turn into Arizona.
Yeah. Frankly, there aren't a lot of NFL fonts as bad as Arizona, as these Arizona Wildcats numbers. But I will say that, like, I think the Chargers get close, where they're kind of just overly angular. But
back to the original point, UCLA looks great. These look UCLA really good. Looks,
yeah. I still wish they used kind of the fancy numbers, for lack of a better term, of their old jerseys. The block, it needs a little bit more to it, I think, but
it's fine.
Those Boise State ones, the orange helmet needs to go. Everything else can stay.
What's another case of Boise is known for blue, right? So now orange is getting an equal spot on the stage, and that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
I've lost
it's
my place
it's here. Fine alternate, but like an alternate jersey and pants. But I don't need the orange helmet. I really don't even need that white helmet that they have either.
And quite frankly, I haven't liked any of Boise's. I don't like Boise's current logo. Period. Like it just looks too cartoony to me.
It's the logo that everyone knows them as. You know, it's the one that they made their name in. So
I like Nevada has got a nice look here. It's nice and clean. At least what I can see of it in the one picture. I don't I don't see pants or anything with it, but.
Yeah, Utah.
I'm okay with it, but I don't like all the monochrome shit.
I was ready to love Utah until I looked at their pants. You see the bottom?
Yeah, yep. Pants. That too. That's a real problem.
Yeah, that's.
But like, really like the white, the all white look with the white helmet looks great until you get to the pants.
Yeah,
I mean, a right angle stripe on your pants, seriously?
Yeah, not
come
good.
Come on. I mean, that would look so sharp if they just left the pants alone and just like a nice normal like pants stripe.
Oh, that pant stripe is awful.
It's a right angle. I think that's a first, isn't it?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no hashtag RB Nation, but
like if they made that stripe go straight down the leg and got rid of that color block on the back of it.
Yeah.
It would be a great look.
Yeah, I think it would look really good. It's a nice clean look, but. Yeah, but you know, we are right though. At least we're starting to see signs of it that the simple uniforms are coming back because, like Mike said, there's only so far you can go. I mean, when Virginia Tech, and you brought it up, Mike, when they're doing like a stone fence as their helmet, well, we've really gone too far at that point.
Yeah, and I think UCLA's are just absolutely beautiful, and I think. Quite frankly, more so than anything than it says about college football. I mean, I think it says something great about the trend in college football that we're going to go back to more simplistic looks. But I think Under Armour has proven that the UCLA style over the shoulder striping can work on a modern template.
Like, yeah.
Everyone has been saying, you know, look at the NFL. Oh, like the Colts and the Jets, like, look, they look so truncated. That striping pattern doesn't work anymore. But Under Armour just proved that, yeah, you can. So I guess my question is for Nike, what the hell? You've got the NFL contract, guys. If UCLA can look this good under Under Armour, then surely you can figure out how to make the Colts look good again.
Well, I can solve the problem on all levels is bring back sleeves. I know that that's never going to happen, but there's your solution. And all this nonsense, you know, well, the player is faster, blah, blah, blah. Eric Dickerson, one of the greatest running backs of all time, wore every piece of equipment he could find, had sleeves, and was still better than everybody else. So that bullshit doesn't fly. But yeah, Under Armour has shown that you can do the old over-the-shoulder stripes and make it look good. So what's the problem here?
I don't know. Washington State looks good, too.
Yeah, I like those. Again, I'm not a fan of the monochrome, but the maroon over gray looks sharp.
I got to admit, I've always loved Washington State's logo.
Wazoo. Yeah, the WSU that kind of looks like a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it always just sort of looked weird. I remember when I saw it for the first time, I was just fascinated by it because it's just so odd looking.
God,
yeah.
that Utah uniform just pisses me off because that could have looked so good. So
did you
good.
Watch this little Penn State video, by the way?
No, I saw that they're doing something this year. Like
it's so stupid. So they it's one of those things where like all the team is in their meeting room and then they unveil the uniform and everybody goes nuts. Except it looks like every other Penn State uniform that I've ever seen.
Yeah, what are they doing? They're like, we're gonna combine eras. It's like they're all the same.
They just put numbers on the side of the helmet.
Really? That's really the only difference.
That's the only difference.
Have they ever done that before?
Like, that was what they did before Paterno. Like, Paterno kind of got rid of the helmet numbers, and I guess now they're bringing it back.
It'll pay homage to the 1950s and 70s Nittany Lions. White cleats, because no team has ever worn white shoes before. that references the 1979 Sugar Bowl. And then there's some white trim on the shoulder from the 80s, where they won their national championships.
It just looks like every other Penn State uniform of all time because...
Well, that's what I mean. When I read that they were combining eras, I thought, that's just silly.
It's like the Yankees being like, we're going to combine eras of all of our various pinstripes.
Right.
Do you think during the meeting they could say we're going to represent the past but also move forward by no longer enabling child rape? Do you think they could have worked that in?
Well, they probably could have, but why draw attention to the unpleasantness, right?
I've seen plenty of these videos, and I get when the kids get all hype and they do. Some of these things, when it's like when they're wearing a chrome helmet or they're wearing all black, it's like, okay, they think that's cool. But if you go to Penn State and you know what the Penn State uniforms look like, and somebody comes out like, oh, we're wearing new uniforms, you're like, oh man, we're gonna get new uniforms, and a guy bursts out like wearing the same thing you always wear.
But with a number, but the only difference is a number on the helmet.
Everybody in the room's going, wait.
We got numbers on the helmets, Joe.
We're like Alabama now.
You know what? Maybe Penn State exclusively recruits from a pool of players that really loves number helmets. I mean, and they're like, yeah, man, numbers. Woo!
If I drop my helmet, I'll be able to know which one's mine. Sweet.
Hashtag fire.
That had been such a problem before. Now they've got that fixed. Everything's fine at Penn State now, right?
Yeah.
The last little problem they had, keeping track of whose helmet belongs to whom, is taken care of. So everything's good. All's right in the world in Happy Valley.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah. And again, this is the very shallow end of the college football uniforms. Despite the trend being bold and simple designs, I have no doubt that we're going to see our fair share of college football garbage every Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And I can't wait to look at some of these things where it's like, we put the entire skyline of Tulsa, Oklahoma in our numbers.
Right. I knew when Ohio State started doing it and a couple of the other big traditional schools started going that route, I said, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, now, but you know who still doesn't? There's two schools that I know off the top of my head, three. There are three schools that I can think of that are still the bastions of college football that don't do any of this garbage.
USC.
SC.
Alabama.
Texas.
Texas has done a few things, but nothing crazy. Like, they'll bring back the number over the Longhorn, but nothing like over the top, right?
Right. They've worn the same thing. And, you know, props to all those schools for doing it.
Yeah.
I've got to give a shout out to Auburn. They have not.
Yeah, they haven't really done anything crazy either, have they?
No, not that I can think of.
No,
I think they have an orange jersey in their repertoire somewhere, but that's about it.
I think they wore an orange jersey in the 80s, and you would have thought that would have been prime alternate material, but strangely, it just hasn't happened.
Well, when you're USC, I don't know. You can't really improve on that uniform, so why try?
Yeah, the only thing they would wear is maybe what they wore in the 80s, where it wasn't the over the shoulder, but it was just the
right. It's like sleeve stripe type. Yeah.
USC, I think, not just college football, but I think USC has some of the best football uniforms of all time.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah.
Well, and I guess they've done a little bit of stuff with the trim on the neck of the road uniform. Like, USC is funny. Like, you know how Michigan, their home uniforms stay the same all the time?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they mess around with the away uniform. SC has done that a little bit recently, but not too much. They put, like, a Trojan Greek design on the road collar.
SC made – I mean, they've made some tweaks over the years. Like you said, they had the sleeve stripes for a while, and I think they went to a maroon face mask.
They changed the version of the logo and the helmet, I think, once.
Yeah, but nothing. I mean, but even when they did, it still looked good.
Oh yeah.
I think Michigan too. The few times they've made, like, they went with that crazy. It was a few years ago when they played the night game or whatever, and they had the jersey with like the weird stripe, but it looked really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish Ohio State had stayed with the pack on that one, and they didn't.
Ohio State has kept the primary look more or less traditional, but they have fallen prey to the stupid alternates.
Yeah, and like last year against Michigan, they wore those horrible black helmets with their normal uniforms, which looked entirely stupid. did they do that in the playoffs too? I don't remember, but it just...
When they get to the playoffs, Nike gives them their special Nike.
Yeah, because...
Oh, that's right.
With the chromed swoosh on the front. So, yeah, you know it's special.
Right. It makes you 32% faster, which is why there were so many injuries in that game.
They were just going too fast. They couldn't stop.
Too fast. The best part was when two guys hit each other and burst into flames. Anyway. But back to the original point. Yes, we called it with the trend towards simple uniforms a while back. And UCLA looks really good. And Utah, oh, my God, did you fuck that up? You could have looked great and you don't.
Well, the great thing going back to USC is USC UCLA is going to look really nice this year.
Oh man, that color on color game,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's going to look really good.
And these are especially this look UCLA look is especially great when you consider like their last look, like how Adidas had butchered their identity with like the tire tracks across the top of the jerseys.
Oh God, the tire tracks. Not to mention the L.A. Midnight Steel.
I was just going to bring those up. I can't remember what they called them. Yeah. Yeah.
L.A. Midnight Steel. Zach, as a resident of Southern California, how much steel do you observe around the midnight hours?
It's all inside the buildings, so
gotcha.
Not a whole lot.
How much stealing is a different question, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Flipping back through this college football uniform thread, and I'm reading a post you just made, or I made Sunday, I guess.
Okay.
Somebody tried to claim the UCLA shoulder stripes represent the past, present, and future.
Yeah. It was part when they unveiled their current uniforms. Some dweeb from Under Armour was like, the white, gold, and white stripes represent UCLA's past, present, and future coming together.
What?
You mean the uniform design that they've been wearing for
since
fucking
the 40s.
Since like the 40s, my entire life, yeah.
Yeah. And my whole point was, it's like, no, someone in the 40s was like, these are our school colors, and that looks good. So that's all it was.
Oh, God. I hate and love these people so much.
And I was just writing that in response to someone who was trying to defend this garbage. And it's like, no, like, look, if you're a designer and you want to assign meaning to something, then you've got to at least be a bit knowledgeable about what you're talking about. And often it's not, and you just get crap like, this A in the Timberwolves logo represents the Viking rune for wolf. And it's like, actually, no, it doesn't. And that's very easily verifiable.
Well, I think you missed one very important rule there, Mike. The first thing you have to do is wait for something in a uniform to actually have meaning. And when that happens, then we'll talk about it. And until then, it's just numbers and shit and colors. So that's all.
Apparently what happened was, if you go back a bit further in that thread, where people talk about it, what happened was that when Under Armour was putting together the current look, which, no disrespect to the fine people of Under Armour, but it's basically just what UCLA should look like, so I don't know how long that could have taken.
Yeah, somebody said, hey, make our jerseys look like this again.
Okay. We want to look like we did in 1986. Okay. Except with the block font.
And like... But anyway, I guess during the process, one of Under Armour's, I guess, lead designers popped on UCLA's website, and there was something about how, like, there's some generic quote on their front page about, like, inspiring generations past, present, and the future or something. And they were like, that can be what the stripes mean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. But again, as we are okay with the idea of, well, why'd you do that? Well, it looked better. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
but there are people that need their egos stroked in such a way that these things have to mean something.
Well, it reminds me of, I have seen raging debates break out over the red numbers on the Dodgers uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I always step in and go, did it ever occur to any of you that someone just said, hey, you know, red numbers might look good on this? And that's it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they're there. No, it can't possibly be that.
Or in some cases, it's like look, the Philadelphia Flyers, for example. Their patches on the back were the nameplates.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if somebody tried to redesign the Flyers uniforms now, they would give some sort of meaning to it. And it's like, no, they did that because that's what they had lying around.
Mm-hmm.
It like when they did that in the 70s, it wasn't even for design purposes. It said, oh, we're going to be on national TV and we need our names on our jerseys. This is all we got. Throw it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it may have been the same thing with the Dodgers. They may have been fresh out of blue for the front. And they said, well, we got red. Okay.
With some of these old school, like, mismatching things, it's not because the red is the fiery passion of Dodger baseball.
No,
just. They didn't have any blue fabric.
It's one of two things. Either somebody said, I think red might look good, or we don't have any blue. As simple as that.
It's interesting. Like, you go back through just my favorite hockey team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. You go back through their history, and it almost seems random when the Leafs would switch between white jerseys that had white shoulder yokes and blue shoulder yokes on the white jerseys. And you kind of wonder, well, why did they make that change? Or why did the striping, why did the thickness of the stripes, you know, change slightly from season to season? It's like, well, because back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, it was just sort of like, oh, the company that we ordered our sweaters from, you know, changed their manufacturing style, and now they look like this. And there, it's like, oh, well, we needed new sweaters, so we called the company and ordered a new batch, and this year the white ones have blue shoulders on them. Okay, I guess that's what we look like for this season.
But I'm going to go back to what I've said before, though. The reason we get all this Nike speak nonsense, it's our fault entirely. All 26,000 of us that are members at ChrisKremerSportsLogos.net, it's our fault. If they thought no one cared about this shit, they'd just say, hey, this looks good, and that would be the end of it. But nope.
The thing that gets me is that the post that Zach was referring to, that I was responding to someone who I'm not going to name, but they were saying how, as a professional designer, simply it looks good is bad for design. And why? my question is why is that a bad thing? Why is, like for example, like when it comes, and I use the Browns as an example, all right? So when the Browns redesigned their latest uniforms, they did that whole thing that we mock constantly. Oh, the orange the new orange represents the passion of the Cleveland Dog Pound. Why couldn't the rationale just be, we thought this new orange looked better with brown than the previous shade? That's all they had to say. That's all they had to say. And that would have been a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Is it the designer, I think it is, that said this, that it's bad for...
Probably, yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
It is exactly who you think it is, yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, folks, we're going to wrap it up. You know how the whole thing works. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and YouTube, and find us on Facebook. And with that... Go Bruins.
No.
I like their uniform. I've always liked UCLA's uniforms. So.
Okay. With that, go Trojans.
That's fine, I guess.
With that, go Buckeyes.
Go Sun Devils.
With that.
War Eagle.
War Eagle. Okay, you beat me to it. All right, we'll see you next time.